Thank you, Sheila. Those songs effect were wonderful. I think they ministered to me while I was sitting there. Greatly appreciate it. I think there is only a few of us. We are either the faithful ones or we are the left behind. I know my wife was in bed when I left, so definitely, I'm not sure about myself. She would have gone, so the fact that she's in bed makes me feel better. I don't know if it happened since then. It's been a couple hours. So, what we'll do is, I think we'll proceed with sharing with you that what happened a couple weeks ago. The 26th and the 27th, there was the MCEC annual general meeting, which me, Wally, and Michelle attended. And I think it's a good practice for us to know what's been happening in the larger body of Christ, especially in our denomination. I didn't want to do it last week. It was Mother's Day. There was no way I was going to miss the opportunity to preach on a Mother's Day. So we did it. I don't know if today is a great day either, but what we'll do is we'll go ahead and share. What I'll do, I'll summarize. I'll type it up nicely, what Wally says and what I will say, and then send out an email for the rest of the congregation so they know what's happening. So what we'll do this morning, Wally will share first, and then I'll come and say a few words about that meeting. The highlights of that meeting, obviously, were about 15 minutes or so. And then the next 15 minutes or so, we will do what we learned at the meeting. I understand it's not something new to this congregation, but the Lectio Divina, which April Yamasaki, the worship leader for those 2 days, I thought it was just a fantastic gathering. We were mightily blessed. The word, the teaching she shared, and the instructions to do the spiritual meditation, I got a lot out of it. And just the gathering was wonderful time we had. And so we will do that on the second half. I'll give you the instruction for that as we proceed. Wally.
So I think in this crowd the faces that I see before me, I'm fairly safe in identifying myself as Wally Beckler, and I'm currently serving as your treasurer. And as your treasurer, I was asked to attend the annual gathering, which in years gone by, we've always kind of, or at least I have often, and I'll share only from my perspective because it's safer that way, I have always or often known that when the annual meeting of conference churches is happening, I would often refer to that as conference, right or wrong. But I think there's been a fairly strong intent to not call it a meeting of conference, but to call it a gathering. And a gathering of what? It's a gathering of the church. So I want to review a few things that may or may not be present in your current picturing or thinking. So the Mennonite Church of Eastern Canada is one of 5 regional churches that make up Mennonite Church Canada. The other 4 regional churches are Mennonite Church Alberta, Mennonite Church BC, Mennonite Church Manitoba, and Mennonite Church Saskatchewan. So Mennonite Church of Eastern Canada has approximately, because there's always a little bit of ebb and flow, has approximately 107 congregations within the Mennonite Church of Eastern Canada. 107 churches that make up approximately 12,500 members. Mennonite Church of BC has approximately 27 congregations. Mennonite Church Alberta, 11 congregations. Mennonite Church Manitoba, approximately 45 congregations. And Mennonite Church Saskatchewan, approximately 27 congregations. Now, the current numbers summarizing that listed from Mennonite Church Canada are a bit old, but just for some sense of size or quantity, if you will. So those five regional churches represent approximately 31,000 members and approximately 220 churches. So I just wanted to share that to have a sense of how Pioneer Park fits into Mennonite Church Eastern Canada, how Mennonite Church Eastern Canada feeds into Mennonite Church Canada. And I haven't even taken the next level, and we'll save that maybe for another year, another time, but of course there is a world conference as well. Now, I should say, and this is an admission and a fault, or however you interpret it, typically I must admit that I'm not one who jumps at the opportunity or necessarily finds myself keen to block out a Friday evening and an all-day Saturday to attend conference. It's something that I'm working on. I should correct myself right there and say a gathering. But so that's something that I need to work on, because almost inevitably what happens is when I attend, I find some positive things there. And it ends up being a good experience despite my whatever. As I mentioned earlier, one of the things that I found positive and I appreciated the emphasis was very much on the gathering aspect. And I think sometimes we have used the word conference, at least I have, again, I'm speaking as myself. I use the word conference, and it's almost too easy, like if we're perhaps, whatever the issue may be that is being debated and whether we're fully in agreement with it or whether we're fully informed or not, sometimes we see conference as an entity and we feel removed or disengaged from conference. And I think that's something that needs to be worked at as well, because that is not the platform that I perceive that conference is working from. In fact, I really appreciated the emphasis that they placed that when we got together, when we gathered on the 26th and 27th, the representation there was the church. It wasn't a representative. I mean, you could argue the point and it could be semantics, but it wasn't the conference gathered. Okay. You could say it was, but it was a gathering of the church, and that was the focus. And I really appreciated the focus, and I thought it was important to not distinguish and place the individuals who serve within conference roles, not to segregate those numbers of individuals as the conference. We were the church gathered, and those members serving at conference are members of the church in positions of service, in a sense no different than perhaps mine or yours. So that was an important distinguishing for me. There was, of course, the usual points of business. There was a bylaw amendment that was officially adopted and voted on this year. I believe it's the first formal bylaw amendment within the last 13 years, and I stand to be corrected if I'm recalling that incorrectly. I think there was some sense that it probably will not be 13 years before we have a further amendment. But they did, I thought, a good job of presenting an overview, and the detail of those amendments was easily available. There was, of course, a financial report, And I thought the presentation of that, which they broke into several pieces, was well done. Those reporting on that, I think, left you feeling with an air of confidence about what was happening. This is, of course, I don't think any surprise to any of you, but we've known of it. We know that it's being experienced. And yet when they presented one of the additional bits of information was a graph trending giving from the congregations in terms of the percentages that make up the overall budget of our Mennonite Church of Eastern Canada budget. The bottom line is that the graph represented basically a 10-year trend of decline. So for 10 years consecutively, that budget is being impacted by the giving within our 107 churches. It struck me because, I guess firstly from the role that I'm attending on behalf of, and I say this with thankfulness and humility, Pioneer Park Christian Fellowship is bucking that trend. And I say, praise the Lord. And I'm not saying that to flaunt it, but I'm recognizing it, and I'm grateful for it. There is some reserve funds that they are able to draw on as they struggle to balance a budget, which seems to be an exercise that's present everywhere. But of course, those reserve funds have limited life and application as well. So in the spending for 2019, there were a number of areas that straight out ended up having a 5% reduction in terms of the budgets that would be expendable. So certainly this is an area of concern and where they're, of course, seeking prayer and guidance. But I think in very brief terms, that would be an overview of the financial aspect. There is, of course, much more detail and many more things that could be shared, but I think I will pass that along to you. So I think I will conclude with that, and hopefully those items shared will be of some value to you.
Thank you, Wally. A couple things I could add to what Wally said would be, one was there was a presentation on an initiative for youth ministry, which is really near and dear to my heart, youth ministry. There was the conference, MCEC has hired one lady, her name is Jean Lean Epp. She's done a great job in the first year, engaging the youth across the conference and getting input from them. So a couple things that they highlighted was that the youth are looking for deep, meaningful relationship grounded in faith. And one of the things that they liked about the Mennonite Church is community and inclusivity, and the fact it is the heritage of the Mennonite Church. So there's something that we can build on, which is community and inclusivity. They like that, but they are also looking for a deeper meaning that is rooted in faith. And out of that thing that she did by engaging the youth, they came out with a guiding sort of statement that will shape. They have extended her contract for another year, and in which they are going to get the youth to sort of connect to the church. That statement they came up with was very powerful. It says, investing in intentional, unconditional relationship with youth, walking with them towards a fearless faith in Christ Jesus. So the two of them, Jean Lean Epp and Marilyn Rudy Froese, presented that, and that was a very encouraging thing. And one of the things my prayer for Pioneer Park is that to envision for the future for the youth, that the Lord to raise somebody from within or from without to take up the cause of the youth and to make a place for the youth before they come. Okay, that we will pray that someone would start envisioning and developing ministry for the youth and then for the future, that they are the future of the church. And I think that's my heart. And the second thing I would like to mention is that there was a couple churches that were attending for some time, part of the congregation, part of the conference. They were ethnic churches. One was Refuge de Paix in Sherbrooke, Quebec. And the other one is which is a Spanish church. And then Markham Christian Worship Center, which is a Sri Lankan church in Markham, Ontario. They both became full-time members. And they were introduced. That was one of the highlights. And I wanted to read the pastor of that, the Refuge de Paix, from Sherbrooke, Quebec, what she said, I thought was very powerful. This is what she said, we have been attending the annual church gathering since 2007. Very, very a small woman with you can see the heart of God in that, just in the way she spoke, in the way she presented, and she's through interpreter. We have been attending the annual church gathering since 2007, and my eyes have tears in gratitude to God every time for the brotherhood and unity of the gathered brothers and sisters with differences in language and ethnicity, but with the same open heart to serve the Lord. Do not stop dreaming about God's plans. Continue to do everything possible to spread His word. Her name is Pastor Lucy Roca, and it's a small congregation, 25 people. They worship in French, in Spanish, in Quebec. I think those are the couple things that I wanted to add. There are other things, but I would put them in my email. Let me go now to the what we're going to do in the remainder 10 minutes or so. I'll quickly present, and Phyllis, you can come and join us. I'd like to say a few words about the Lectio Divina as a reminder. And then we would actually do the spiritual reading together, okay? I like to, when I find something that is worthwhile, I attend a conference or any place teaching that I find worthwhile, I like to share it with others. And even my wife, I'm always preaching to her what I have been listened. And whether she listens or not, I will just sit her down. Sometimes she's... So... It's one way for me to reinforce what I've learned, and teaching it to others is a good way, especially if I find it ministering to me. It goes from our head when we listen to our heart when we teach. It kind of drips down, and it begins to take over. So this is kind of my attempt to do that. So there was a number of things this lady said. April Yamasaki, a pastor of 25 years, deaf, is... if you find her books, buy it, whatever she has. She's been a pastor for 25 years in Abbotsford, BC, and she's actually the editor of the Menno magazine in the States called Purpose magazine. So here's a few things which she said, and I'll share that, and then we will proceed. So the theme was deepening our relationship with God for the weekend, deepening. So on Friday, she talked about, her focus was on seeking, on Friday it was about drawing near to God. My apologies, drawing near to God. On Saturday it was seeking and waiting for the Lord. It's both from Psalm 27. Okay, here's a few things she said. We all want it, but having a close relationship with God with God is not easy. Why? We are too busy, too distracted. A close relationship with God means we come to God just as we are. And we don't have to wait until we are less busy, or life calms down, or we are perfect. We come just as we are. A relationship with God is for good days and for bad days, for the days in between. Okay, and she shared with us a story of a lady by the name Charlotte Elliott. She wrote a song or a poem called Just As I Am, and she talked about how this woman, and at the age of 39, how she was suffering a debilitating pain to the point where one day, in a beautiful day, she couldn't go out, attend a church picnic. She has to stay at home. She just, because the pain was too much, she couldn't go. And this is the poem she wrote. I'll just read a couple things for you. If you want, I Googled her, and there is a few things on YouTube, very interesting. You can do that. It's called Just As I Am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I don't know how old it is, so I think the language is. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. So, and coming to God means coming to Him in praise and in pleas, she said, pleading with Him. And we come to, and the psalmist, in a difficult situation, the psalmist was facing in Psalm 27. The psalmist chose to go to God in prayer, singing, and going to the temple itself. And she talked about the symbolic connection of physical trust and thirst and the spiritual thirst, okay? And said, sometimes we don't thirst for God because we are bored or disinterested, because we fill ourselves with other things. The danger is we may not even know we are thirsty. Busyness, with too many places to go, too many people to see, etc. What the human spirit is most thirsty is for God. Okay? With that in mind, so we seek Him individually and we seek Him together. She talked about this, a deeper relationship with God by coming to Him in personal silence and prayer as well as in Scripture. Okay, she talked about waiting as well, waiting on the Lord. This is the last two verses of the Scripture there. We see that waiting was a big theme. Okay, with that in mind, what we are going to do now is the three of us are going to read. This is exactly how we were instructed. And I thought, as it progressed, I found myself deeply engaged in the Word and thoughts that I have not had before flowing into me or through me.